Welcome to the Leading Visionaries Podcast, featuring stellar conversations with emerging and established leading visionaries. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate and spotlight the leading visionaries who are thinking differently, seeing new possibilities, have the courage to dream big, take inspired action, and create conscious change all around the world. Now, here's your host, Angel B. Hartwell.
Welcome to another episode of the Leading Visionaries Podcast, where we celebrate the ingenious, insightful, innovative, and inspired leading visionaries of our time and provide our listeners with world-class examples of the kind of courage, clarity, and confidence it takes to bring visions into reality. This is your host, Angel B. Hartwell, and today we welcome our special guest, Kevin Wayne Johnson. As founder and chief executive of the Johnson Leadership Group, LLC, Kevin provides organizations and the people who work within them with the tools to forge effective personal and interpersonal communication. He delivers training on the elements of dynamic relationships to equip teams with the attitudes and attributes needed to develop individuals into leaders. He does so through motivating workshops, seminars, insightful keynote speeches, and compassionate coaching, all to encourage personal and professional growth. He's a John Maxwell Team certified trainer, coach, mentor, and speaker, and an active member of the International Coaching Federation. Kevin enjoyed a 34-year career, now retired, in government and private industry as a senior level leader. He's been married to his wife, Gail, for 30 years. They live in Clarksville, Maryland, and from their union, raised three sons. Welcome to the show, Kevin. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation. It is an absolute delight to be with you.
Beautiful. Well, this show is called Leading Visionaries. And from, you know, your introduction here, it sounds like leadership is, you know, the place where you really have your main focus. But before we dive down into that topic, I'd love to have you speak a little bit about vision and your own experience with vision and perhaps being visionary in your own life. Was that something that started when you were young, or was that something that was developed through your career?
Actually, it's a combination of both, but it did start in the home. So I have one brother, and he was born with a mental disability. And then years later, I meet a young lady right after college. We fall in love, get married. And from our union, we have three sons, and the youngest son is autistic. And the one thing I've noticed from the time I was a child, even till today as a father, is that people who are different are treated differently. And in part, there's some disrespect. There's some misuse and there's some abuse. So I learned as a child from 4 years old, 5 years old, and this was kind of the vision that I see in my life and in the lives of others who have a mental or physical disability, to be their advocate, to be their friend, to be their supporter, and to serve them. And that led into the marketplace, what I learned in the home. And then ultimately, as I began my career as a frontline, mid-level, and senior-level leader, kind of kept that mantle going. That was the burden in my heart as a visionary, to be able to help people to understand that we may be different, but we have the same basic needs. Everybody wants to be cared for. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants to be included. And everyone wants to be treated with a level of respect. So from that perspective, it started in the home. But then as a leader, I enjoyed the training and the resources and the tools and the cultivation that came along with molding me to be the best leader that I could be.
Beautiful. I love that. All right. So it is not a new thought for any of us to know that different, you know, people who have differences are treated differently. And one of the roles that I think a leader has is to find not only the way to serve people who are perhaps underserved, misused, abused, as you said, but how do we as leaders create unification within our organizations and within our teams so that everyone is respected? So I'd love to have you speak a little bit about how to weave those teams together, how to use leadership skills to honor and respect everyone?
Yeah, that's really a great point. I have a very simplistic answer, and then I'll unpack it. It starts with you and I. We are the role model and we are the example. And the truth of the matter is more people are watching what we do than listening to what we say. And if what we say is not in line with what we do, then we actually have some issues that we have to resolve as a leader. And so if we want to create a certain tone, a certain atmosphere, a certain environment, a certain culture within our respective organizations, let's be the role model. Let's be the example of what we want people to see, what we want people to do, how we want people to act, their mannerism and their behavior because of what they see in their leader. Now, that's a very simplistic way that Kevin Johnson shares the information based upon your question. But when you unpack it, it's really getting down to that universal law that we all know. It's called the golden rule. We all know it, right? Let's just treat people the way that we would want to be treated. And it just has to do with just making a positive impact in the lives of others. And that has a lot to do with their development, their training, the resources that we provide, the tools and the systems that we give them, but equally important, what they see in us. And that's a very simplistic way, I believe, that we could all get to that ultimate goal of having high-performing teams, a great culture in our organizations. Now, keeping in mind that none of us are perfect, that means from time to time we do make mistakes. I get it. But if those mistakes are the exception and not the norm, then people will really gravitate toward what we're doing. And then they'll say in their own mind and in their heart, this is the way that I should be leading people.
Beautiful. I love that. Well, I want to go back to that thought form of treating other people the way we want to be treated. And I want to bring in the experience I've had personally with other people in leadership roles who have been not treating their people very nice, have been abusing, have been misusing. And even sometimes I have done it myself in my own, you know, journey. I have made the mistake of not being as kind to the people that are working with me as I would like to have them be to me. And so I'm curious about your thoughts about anybody who has been actually abused, treating people as they have been treated, as they have been abused, right? And I think a lot of times there's trauma that's running things behind the scenes that we are only now starting to look at as a factor. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. This actually comes up quite a bit. So you have probably, and your listeners have heard this phrase, hurt people, mm-hmm. hurt people. Mm-hmm. And what that really means when you unpack it is that all of us, every last one of us, no exception, it doesn't matter culture, ethnicity, or gender, are dealing with some type of an issue that probably has not been resolved, and we carry that on our shoulders. The reason that I put so much emphasis around, as a leader and being a visionary leader, around topics like empathy, compassion, and the golden rule, the reason I talk about that so much is because we don't know the place and the space that people are in that we are entrusted to lead. So let's make a deliberate effort to be consistent in our leadership style and treat others the way that we would want to be treated, because where they might be on the spectrum, they could be a complete introvert, they could be on the other scale, an extrovert, or somewhere on that spectrum. But because we don't know, because we haven't developed that relationship perhaps with them yet, and we don't have the trust, then let's treat people in a way that's respectful, that demonstrates some empathy and compassion. That does not mean that we're doormats, and it does not mean that we're weak. Guess what it means? It means we're human. And when it's all said and done, that's what people are looking for. Now, that type of leadership now puts in a position I'll have a conversation with people who maybe historically, before we came into their present, have been internalizing how they feel. And so we're not therapists, we're not counselors, we're not psychiatrists. I get it. but we are human. And everyone has a human element that we should tap into as leaders. So instead of abusing and misusing the gift, let's use it in a manner where we're uplifting people and making a positive impact in people's lives. You'll be pleasantly surprised at how they're performed and how they're produced, because now they feel like they're adding value, they're contributing to the team and to the organization, and they're being listened to. And again, this does not make us as leaders weak. It makes us as leaders human. And I tell you, people are looking for that more so than what we know. They're looking more so, how are we going to treat them? How are we going to help them to develop to be one day a great leader like we aspire to be? So that's how I handle it. I'm really consistent with that response, because I think that's the piece that's missing. We're looking at people that we're leading as workers. And they are. We're there collectively to earn a paycheck and to accrue some benefits. I get it. There's work to be done. But let's take a look at the folks in the organization as people who have emotions, who have issues, and who are dealing with things above and beyond just getting work done every day.
Beautiful. One of the things I said when I was doing a talk once on a podcast was, people are not hamburgers. And I think there's been, you know, through the Industrial Revolution and the age of industry and technology, there has been a lot of mindset that treats people as resources and putting a widget in. And if you put the widget in and you do all of these things, you're going to get the XYZ thing out. And people are just not hamburgers. They're actually living, breathing humans. So I love your philosophy. And we're already at the break. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to let people know where they can find out more about you. But right now, listeners, are you a leading visionary or in the role of leading other visionaries? Consider joining our community and sharing your feedback and takeaways from each episode. We invite you to join us and support this podcast by making a donation at leadingvisionariespodcast.com. Interested in finding out more about how you can receive support for getting your vision out of the air and onto the ground? Well, you can apply to qualify for a complimentary consultation with me or a member of my team by clicking the Connect with Angel button on the website. Be sure to share this show in your own spirals of influence with the people who you think might benefit from our content. I want to say a huge thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We're welcoming thousands and thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our listeners. We might as well shout out to our listeners in Maryland, as well as to our listeners in Mexico and in Croatia. And we will be right back with Kevin Wayne Johnson.
The Leading Visionaries podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Are you the one who thinks differently, who is called to create a significant conscious change in the world, who is seeing and dreaming of a better way for your industry, your community, humanity? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to guide leading visionaries just like you who want to break through the static in order to clearly express and confidently enroll support for their vision in a way that makes it inevitable that it will come to pass. Your word is your wand, and as the leader, your ability to articulate and communicate your vision is essential to its materialization and monetization. Please enjoy with our compliments a free copy of the book Be Heard by Millions and Live Your Destiny, which was a number one new release in three categories to get you started. The book is yours by visiting gift.leadingvisionariespodcast.com.
And we are back with Kevin Johnson. He is the founder and CEO of the Johnson Leadership Group, and you can find out more about him at thejohnsonleadershipgroup.com. We will have that for you in the show notes. So, Kevin, before we went to the break, we were talking about the difference between the old authoritarian type leadership style and a more compassionate, human-centered, collaborative leadership style. So I'd love to hear your vision for how your work with your leadership group is putting that into action in reality, because we've also seen in the last, probably the last 6 or 7 years, almost like a reversion, almost like a, like when I had a child, I would watch him when he was in developmental stages, he would like revert, he would go backwards before a big leap. So I'm curious about your vision and how your company is here to support really like landing the leap of going to collaborative leadership.
Yeah, this is really interesting. When you take a look at where we are today, 5 generations of men and women in the workplace at the same time, that's kind of unheard of. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, very historical perspective in terms of how we are as visionaries, as leaders. So whether you were a traditionalist born before 1945 or a baby boomer, that's the area that I'm in, 46 to 64, a millennial, a Gen X or a Gen Z. As we get access to more information and as technology has evolved and advanced, the generations coming up have access to more information and they have it much more quickly and it's much more easily accessible. And so there's many, many different choices to make, which means that we have to pay very, very close attention to the audience that we are engaging. And that's a very, very key piece of leadership. Your communication style, your conflict management style, how you go about solving problems, making decisions, being collaborative, being a better listener. All of that is what we talk about at the Johnson Leadership Group, not only in the present, but we also try to gain a historical perspective in terms of where we come from, agricultural age, moving into the industrial age. And here, these last 3 decades, with the advent of Amazon and Apple and Google and Alphabet, now the technological age and technology continues to grow and thrive, is just amazing. So we just have to be laser focused on the audience, be better listeners, understanding their concerns. And when I say there, I'm talking about everybody, all 5 generations. And recognizing and acknowledging that, guess what? Because we are dealing with other people, dealing with other humans, guess what? There's going to be differences of opinion. And it's okay. We can embrace it. But just make sure that we are equipped and understand how to embrace the differences of opinion. Yes, we are the leader. Yes, we are the head of the organization. But no, we don't have all the answers. And that's why team, T-E-A-M, that's why it stands for together, everyone achieves more. So now we receive input and we get feedback. We may not always be able to implement it or execute it for this particular initiative or this project or this contract, but at least we took the time to hear the thoughts and the ideas and the perspectives for others. And that's what people are looking for. That's what they're looking for. So there was a time historically where you and I just made a decision. This is what we're going to do. And everybody get in lockstep. Well, we have to be a little bit more cooperative. We have to be in partnership and we have to be more collaborative in order to be a success. And a success means being able to galvanize a team, individuals that make the team, and moving forward toward the organization's mission, vision, and core values. When leaders take the time to do that, the folks that follow us do appreciate it. Even if they don't verbally articulate it, you know they appreciate it because they stay around. They don't leave the organization. And that's a sign that we're doing the right thing.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, I want to talk a little bit because, you know, some of our listeners are potentially very much like you who have been leaders in a corporate situation or government or, you know, for years and years, and then they're at the point where they're ready to quit the corner office. And you made the leadership decision in your own life to start your own business. So I'd love to have you speak a little bit about what that process was like for you personally. And, you know, anything you'd like to share about the Johnson Leadership Group, you know, who your people are that you really would like to connect with to be hired.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in the spirit of your podcast, what you want to do next on the other side of your career takes vision. Mm-hmm. And so at the very outset, you mentioned 34 years with the federal government as a frontline, mid-level and senior level leader, Department of Defense and Department of Treasury. My last position was a chief of staff where I had a chance to oversee a lot of different functions. That's where I got the vision. 5 years prior to my retirement, I sort of knew what I wanted to do, but that chief of staff position really solidified it. I had a chance to oversee human resources. I oversaw information technology, property, security, facilities, training. And when I got a chance to really understand how you and I can help to facilitate the advancement, the preparation, and the development of future leaders, that was really the spark that caught me on fire. Mm-hmm. And that's the place and the space I wanted to be in. So I started 5 years before I actually retired with a vision to stand up a company, to work with government agencies, city, county, state, and federal, to work with corporations, primarily small to mid-size. I don't really work with the big corporations, churches, nonprofit organizations, and academic institutions, because that's where people are in the marketplace. And the Johnson Leadership Group, as a prime contractor, gets hired by these different organizations to come in and help the individuals, help the team, and help the organizations to not just grow, but to also tap into the potential of every man and every woman so they can be the best that they can be, both personal and professional development. Because we firmly believe that great leaders do help the world to become a better place. Because in part, good leadership understands how you treat people. And when you treat people well, you're going to make a deposit in their lives and they're going to turn right around and do the same. I call it the wash, rinse, and repeat approach to leadership. People will emulate what they see in their leader. And I firmly believe that. So my team of 10 diverse men and women who are certified coaches, certified leadership trainers, including myself, we're out in the trenches of the marketplace doing our best to add value to individuals, to teams, and organizations. And I always say it with a smile because I'm having a blast. I love what I do. This is clearly my life's mission, and we're really enjoying it. We don't just work here in the United States, but we do work around the globe as well.
Beautiful. Well, in the last few minutes that we have, I do want to speak too also about the idea of investing in your vision, because you could have gotten that vision and not done much with it. You could have, you know, just chosen to be a one-off consultant, or, you know, I'm curious about and would love to hear about how you as a leading visionary led yourself to say yes and to invest in building what you're building. And then in the last couple of minutes, what do you see is on the horizon for Johnson Leadership Group?
Yeah. So going back to the very beginning of our discussion, you remember me saying a lot of what happens in the marketplace with us individually starts at home. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I didn't mention is that I am the son of a U.S. Marine, and my dad instilled in me discipline and self-awareness, and of course, leadership. He was a drill sergeant in Parris Island, South Carolina, when I was 3 years old. I still remember that. And so that really catapulted me around the theme of being consistent and making sure that I did the work necessary so that my goals, dreams, and aspirations would come to pass. And so everything that I've done in my life has been very meticulous, very methodical, and very systematic. I'm a write everything down kind of guy as it relates to my goals. And the same thing with the business as well. And so I knew when we started the Johnson Leadership Group that within 10 years, here is our revenue goal and here is our scope in terms of strategic regions around the globe that we want to reach. And we're on that trajectory. Doors are opening, not so much because of me as an individual, but because of the planning. The marketing plan, the business plan is very concise, it's very clear, and it's very crisp in terms of where I want to lead the organization. But equally, the number of people that we want to touch, that we want to pour into, because we never assume, whether you have your bachelor's, your master's, or your doctorate, we never assume that you receive the training as it relates to how you treat people. You receive the methodology and the practicum and the curriculum and the theory, but we never assume that anybody, regardless of their level, has the heart to lead people in a way that they really want to be led with compassion and with empathy. So I happen to be a visiting professor at my alma mater, Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, and I tell the students that all the time. I just tell them right up. I said, I know you're not getting this, so that's why I'm a visiting professor. And we kind of laugh about it together, but I said, I'm serious. I want you all to be phenomenal leaders when you graduate from this wonderful university. So that's how we look at it. That's how we handle it. That's my goal. That's my dream. That's my aspiration, to be able to touch at least 1 million people in this journey.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, I am very excited that we had an opportunity for you to come on the show. And, you know, we're all over the world, so you're touching 1 million people, maybe closer than you think.
All right.
And so I want to say thank you so much for coming today, Kevin. And listeners, we do love feedback. So please let us know what you thought of today's show by joining our community, sharing your takeaways, asking questions, or submitting guest suggestions. You can weave your visionary thread into our fabric by opting in on our website at leadingvisionariespodcast.com or by interacting with us on social. Look for the handle at Leading Visionaries Podcast on all the major platforms. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your eyes, ears, and hearts open. And remember, you are here to create conscious change.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to rate and review Leading Visionaries on Apple Podcasts and share with other people you know who can benefit from today's episode. Leading Visionaries is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leading visionaries who are called to create conscious change and know that now is the best time to welcome wealth and cultivate a web of collaborative support to bring their vision to life. We invite your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of new episodes at leadingvisionariespodcast.com.